alignment in the boardroom. Many of our clients say early on in our discussions that they have an aligned board. However, when we walk into the boardroom with high expectations of a relatively smooth board evaluation process, we tend to find quite often during the one-to-one interviews we conduct that there are deep and significant gaps in consensus. With the pace of change dominating the agendas, it is unrealistic to expect every member of the board is on the same page. Still, unless the board is truly aligned, one cannot hope to align the rest of the organization behind a strategic journey or a transformation program. Welcome to the Better Boards podcast series. In this episode, I'm delighted to talk with Rich Behrens about alignment in the boardroom. I'm Dr. Sabine Demkowski, founder and managing partner of Better Boards. We make the boards of the most ambitious organizations more effective. Our mission at Better Boards is to contribute to creating better boards. We do this by providing clients with an evidence-based approach for board evaluations and board development programs. To fulfill our mission, we give a voice to all who care about creating better boards. Thank you so much, Rich, for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series. It's an honor to have you.
Hey, thanks, Sabina. I am delighted to be here and thanks for having me.
So our topic is alignment in the boardroom. From our conversations, I know you've done a lot of work at board level. What are for you early warning signs that a board is actually not aligned?
Good question. And I think maybe to step back, when we even talk alignment, Sabina, I kind of tend to put it into two buckets, and they're both important and maybe equally important for a board to be successful, right? And that is the alignment on strategy, but then the second is to have alignment around behaviors, right? And
Yes. Often
a board has one and not the other, but a lot of times they don't have both, right? And we actually learned this the hard way, right? The majority of our work in the past was on the strategy side. We'd align boards on strategy and then cascaded into the entire organization. And we actually had a big moment. It was 10, 12 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer, where we had a top 150 session, company of 50,000 people, a large conglomerate, and we engaged them in strategy for the better part of a day. And at the end, we asked the question that they could answer anonymously, how many of you, based on this great strategy conversation, would recommend our stock to friends and family, right? And keep in mind, this is top 150 out of 50,000. And the answer we got back was 22%, right?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, oh, wow, we're probably going to get fired. But the CEO said, hey, wait a second, there's something more going on, and go digging. And we started doing interviews and on the different dimensions on the lack of confidence. And what we got back is we had no problem at all with strategy. It actually makes sense to us. We have no confidence in the leadership team and how they work together to execute on it and to enable us to be able to execute on it, right? And so there was this big behavioral lack of faith that existed. So they're really both required. And you said early warning signals, what do you see? What do we see? It's actually pretty quickly to assess. It's hard to change, but it's pretty quickly to assess. And simple things to me that I've observed is what degree of conversations happen in the room versus happen outside. In any organization, you have conversations that happen outside of the room. But as you think about the critical ones, do they happen in the boardroom or do they happen in the hallway, the bathroom, right? Or at the proverbial water cooler or the kitchen? So that's one, right? And you could get a sense for that pretty quickly. Another indicator is if you just observe the meetings, what are they like, right? Are they largely presentations and tell, right? Or are they real authentic dialogue? And one indicator I see often that exists is, you know, PowerPoint presentations are what I call pre-sold. When I'll be involved, they're like, well, everybody on the board has already seen this. It's now version 17. So I think we'll be safe once we go in there. Right. And I'm thinking, well, that's completely counter to what really you want as an organization. You want to have the right conversation in the room, not all the prep outside of the room when everybody pre-sells and avoids all the risk. And so I think that's another early indicator. And then maybe lastly, just from an observational standpoint, do you get a sense and a feel for empathy and listening and understanding, right? Versus people kind of fighting for their hits. And those are all, to me, pretty early indicators. And when you just observe a meeting or you do interviews or you just kind of listen for a couple of days, you can tell pretty quickly whether a board is, you know, highly effective, moderately effective, or it likely has real problems.
Great. We talked a lot about, you know, in previous podcasts around the need for this empathy part, for listening. Why is this so important from your perspective in order to create alignment?
I think empathy more than anything else, and I'd say empathy, and I'd put authenticity in there too. It allows for teams to be a best version of themselves. It creates a sense of psychological safety, and it just produces better dialogue and makes sure that the best ideas come out at the right time, right? And that does need to be leader-led, right? If that's not leader-led, it's you can get it in pockets of the organization, but it becomes a whole lot harder, right? But when people know that there's true empathy for my perspective, and you know, why do people sometimes not speak up? Because they consider it, is it a career-limiting move? Will people think I'm not a team player, right? Or as a leader, if I allow this sort of thing, do they think I'm not a good leader? Should I have all the answers, right, as a leader? Or if I allow this, am I soft or am I weak? And I would say often quite the opposite is true, right? It creates greater followership. It creates better dialogue. It creates better conversations and ultimately better execution of the strategy. So it seems counterintuitive, but it really, if done well, is a real strength rather than a weakness.
Absolutely. And now let's look at it from the other side. What are for you the signs that the board is generally aligned?
Yeah, a couple of things. Maybe let me tee them up and then I'll go a little deeper. But I think the first one is, I'd say, one is the conviction for the strategy itself. And the second one is a commitment to observable behaviors to support it, right? And when I talk about the conviction of the strategy, this first piece, I can't tell you how often, you know, I've worked with boards and senior teams where we've got the 150-page PowerPoint, right, that's either done by an external consultant or done internally on the strategy, and we'll ask, are you in agreement with it? Yes, you know, and we sort of get the nodding of the heads, but then we go into the next level of depth and say, okay, what truly is the story and how would you prioritize it and kind of give me that narrative? And if we have 15 people on a board, the stories vary significantly, right? There is a big difference. And then the lack of conviction, and I use the word conviction specifically, is also quite different. And there's a big difference between supporting a strategy, nodding your head, or having conviction for a strategy, right? Because any major strategy with ambition is going to have its ups and downs. It's never a straight line up. When you have those down moments, you got to make sure that your team has conviction, because it's going to allow you to work through the darker days, the down days, when there's doubt, when there's challenge. A good percentage of board members lack conviction in a strategy, even though they support it. So when you have conviction, it's a big deal, right? And you can sense it and you can feel it. It's the way people talk about these ideas, the way they beat the issues up together, clarity they have on the picture of where they need to go, right? It's you could feel an energy behind what they want to create that's quite powerful, right? And often teams realize is they really that they don't have it. And we have some fun activities, right? Or even ways to think about it. You know, one is the difference between common words and shared meaning, right? We often agree on words in a PowerPoint deck, but the meaning behind those words is very different, right? I'll sometimes ask people, what's the picture that comes to mind when I say the word bear, right? And somebody will say, a brown bear, right? Or if I ask you something, you might go, a polar bear. And somebody might go, I don't know, I was thinking more of bear market or bear aspirin, right? And that's just one word. If I now say innovation, customer experience, supply chain redesign, whatever that is, people will agree on the word, but then we say, picture it for me, describe what it means to you. And those descriptions start being all over the place. So we got a shared meaning. That's one key piece, conviction of strategy. You know, you've got a board that's working pretty well. And then the second piece to it, are they clear on the behaviors required to enable that strategy? So how do they need to work with each other? And how do they need to lead? So the organization sees them doing the right things, modeling the right things, working the right way, so that they want to emulate it. They want to do it as well. And they want to contribute to the strategy we're trying to activate. So it's the conviction on strategy and a commitment to a set of observable behaviors that are in direct support of that strategy.
So you stress the importance of observable behavior.
Yeah.
What behaviors do you actually see that foster alignment in the boardroom?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. And I think that takes real work. And, you know, they vary somewhat from organization to organization based on the strategy they're trying to activate. But there's a lot of commonality, right? And when I work with boards, I have them create the behaviors or the guiding principles that they believe are most important. Now some common ones that keep coming up, right? Because they're just proven to be really, really important are things like be tough on the issue and not the person, right? Yeah. And often that's where boards start to break down. They have a hard time having difficult conversations because it becomes personal, or they don't know how to deliver it without it being personal, or they don't know how to listen to it without it being personal. So be tough on the issue and not the person. It's one observable behavior. Own and represent the whole before your piece, right? And you can very often see with how information is presented, how points are being made. So are you owning and representing the whole versus lobbying for your piece, right? Another one might be things like trust the intentions of others. And you can see that in maybe the questions that get asked, right? Do they come from a place of trust in terms of the intentions of the other party, that they also have the best interest of the business in mind? Another one might be have the conversations in the room versus outside of the room. It becomes very observable. You know, and then one on the lighter side, but not unimportant, to be honest, the ability to keep a sense of humor and have fun together. We often have very serious business to do. If you can't mix that with the amount of fun and appreciation and spending the time together in the best way possible, it actually makes a difference, right? But those are just some examples, right? There's lots more, but the key is almost all organizations we work with now have values, right? And they're really important. But what we're talking about here is our observable behaviors at the board level that we commit to, that we coach each other on, and that we gauge how well we do and consciously focus on getting better.
Sounds simple. So if someone, I'm sure there are people out there listening now to this and think, you know, if I'm thinking about it, we are not really aligned. And what is worse, we are not even talking about it.
Right.
What would you advise him or her to do now?
Yeah, it sounds simple and it's actually pretty hard to do well, right? This is sort of like, I've got this plan of going to the gym and what I do, right? And then there's what I actually do. Right?
I know so, this one so well.
to be in the shape I want to be in, right? And we all have our own sort of struggles and demons. And this takes hard work, right? And this does take commitment to be great, right? And most boards and leaders have a desire to be great. You know, a couple of different things. I think one is, can you get an assessment and a sense of where the team is at? And you can do that internally through some interviews, through some listening, or just by having a session if you believe it's safe to have that dialogue. It's also a place where it can be helpful to bring in an outsider to just get an objective view, right, on board effectiveness and kind of get a baseline. So one is, can you get a baseline? Because you have to have agreement from the group that this is an opportunity, right? If you're the only one who thinks so, nobody else does, it's a lot harder, right? So I think that's number one. I think the second one is, if you're not the top person of the team, of the functional lead or of the organization, right? Because this applies, you pick where it applies, but the person who is in charge of the group, of the board, the top one I found, it's really important that they're in on it, right? You have to have the conversation with him or her to make sure that they're on board, because it's most likely going to require some amount of openness and vulnerability and willingness to engage in the journey for this to really be most effective. So have the conversation with them and see what their opening to all of this is, right? And then very practically, if you can, you know, can you put this on the agenda even as a discussion item to see if this is something that the team wants to explore? And even if you don't get the full truth and the board isn't fully ready, you can at least gauge the energy for it. Very often what I'll do with this kind of work is I will actually ask the team what's at stake. And if they don't think a whole lot is at stake with this other than, oh, we're going to hold hands in a semicircle and you're going to make us feel better, I'm just not very interested in that work, right? Because they're not committed and don't believe that this is profoundly different. But what I'll tell you is that the great leaders of the great organizations, the great teams know and understand that this is the difference maker between great execution and great organizations and average ones. And so you get a feel for that pretty quickly. And I think gauge that on the inside, get some help from the outside where appropriate, and then just get to work, right? You got to get started. It's not about perfection.
Can you share with our listeners maybe one exercise that can help them to get started on this journey?
If you just want to get the truth out, right, in a reasonably safe way and process that together, it's an activity I use that I call it the wall of greatness and the wall of reality. And so if you've got your board and give them a post-it note, give each of them three post-it notes and first do the wall of greatness and have them capture on each post-it note one concept as they think about the team that we do really well, right? Because of all of this, most boards are great at studying failure and weakness versus also studying strengths, right? And so I want to make sure we start with strengths, right? And so what are the strengths that we have? Everybody put their three concepts on a wall, on the post-it notes, and affinity group it together, see where the story is and reflect on it and tell the story of our strengths. And then you do the same for the opportunity areas, the reality wall, as I call it. What are the three things that you believe we really don't do well that get in the way of us being as good as we want to be? Right? Do the same thing, put them on the wall, affinity group together, and then have the team reflect and share the story of what it says about us, right? And now it's, you're not putting any one person on the spot. It's us reflecting together on the story that is us. And it's a very safe way to start a conversation on truths, the positive elements of it and the opportunity areas of it. So we call it wall of reality, wall of greatness. And that's some nuances to get it right, but it's a pretty quick and powerful way to have real dialogue and conversation.
And how do you tie this then to creating alignment?
Well, ultimately, what I always tell a team is the first responsibility of a leader is to define reality, and the second is to create hope and to be clear on how we want to work together. And what this does more than anything is it defines the current reality that we have, and it becomes a jump off point for where we have the opportunity areas, right? So we might find that there's some lack of strategic clarity that now has to become an agenda item. We might find that on the behavioral side, we have a couple of items, right? Whether it's we don't have open and honest conversations with one another, or some of the things I talked about earlier, the behaviors that don't exist, it allows us to start. It's the starting point for pinpointing the best and most productive way forward for that particular board.
Great. So I think we've given listeners lots of ideas how they can get started to think about their alignment in their boardroom. What do you think are the top three things our listeners should take away from listening to us?
Alignment takes real work. So it doesn't happen on its own, right? And the great teams, just like, to be honest, the great musicians, if it's an orchestra, right? Anybody who needs to work together, the great sports teams, they work really hard on being great, right? So alignment takes real work. It doesn't happen on its own. You can be okay without working that muscle, but you're not going to be great. I think that would be one, and maybe the most important one. I think the second one is make sure as you think about alignment, you think about this from a strategic and a behavioral standpoint, right? And you look at those dimensions. There's other dimensions, but I think to me, those are the two main buckets. And make sure you have both and you've processed it through both of those lenses, because that's absolutely critical. The third one is make sure you have the right sponsorship, right? And if you're the top person, that's easy. If not, that's an important person to have an ally. And then just get started, right? Not only is it a productive thing to do, it's also just the right thing to do, right? In most organizations, the average will tell you that 70% of people in your organization are somewhere between indifferent and disengaged, right? And not only is that a huge productivity challenge, it's also just not right. The place where most of us are most of the time shouldn't be the place where most of us don't want to be most of the time, right? And so as leaders, we have the responsibility to create a better workplace, and that starts with us. And when we do that, not only does it make people more engaged, but it makes you a better organization that creates better results. Yeah, I think that's all I got, Sabina.
Fantastic. Rich, it was a joy listening to you. I think we've given people lots of ideas, practical tips on this important subject on how to create alignment in the boardroom. Thank you so much for contributing to the Better Boards podcast series.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed the conversation.
How can we help you and your board to become more effective? We at Better Boards are always delighted to hear from you. If you would like to learn more about our research, our approach to board evaluations, or if you have an idea for a podcast, get in touch. You can best reach us on info@better-boards.com. Thank you for listening.